This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom aleichem, bruchim abayim. Welcome to our shiur on Parashas Behaloischa. The shiurim on Sefer Bamidbar are sponsored by our dear friend Rabbi Isaac Yosolovsky, Leonishmas' father, Shabsi ben Yitzchak Isaac, whose yard site was yesterday. Shalom shenehaven aliyah, b'yomei l'tzioshev his whole family, Abi Askel Tzedek. Actually, yesterday I was in Montreal, and I remember toward the end of the day, so I figured that we're mechaving that the shiur today will, it's in the within the span. The shiur on Sefer Bamidbar are once again sponsored by our dear friends Dr. Zakheim u'mishpachta le'ilui nishmas Rav Shlomo Eliezer ben Rav Yaakov Zakheim and le'ilui nishmas Dr. Zakheim's mother Rivka bas Tuvia Halevi the neshama shaven aliyah. They should be melitzei yisharim for their whole family. Ad biyasko el tzedek. Welcome everybody. So you wanted to know whether you could still participate in the campaign. I thought you might want to know about that. So the answer is yes. We're still pushing toward to be able to bring the binyan to its desired goal. So if anybody still wants to participate with any of the building dedications, if you want to put your name on the building, you want to call it the Goldman family building, or the Goldman family Beis HaMedrash, or the Goldman family Kiddush room, that's still available. If you want to do all of them, it's also still available.
Azriel on a first-name basis.
The Azriel building, okay? So now we finalize our plans. We're going to be visiting the country of Tsarfas in the summer from July 26th to August 2nd. We're going to be going to the grave of Rashi for the very first time on his yard site on Chavtes Tammuz, as well as the kfarm of other Balei HaToisus, Rabbeinu Tam, the Rashbam, the Ri Hazaken, the Ravid, in Ramarupt, in Provence, in Metz. So if you want to join our trip, you could go to our site. There's information there. And check out the information on the email. It's being run by Laleches, and there is an early bird special. So if you would like to join us, you are more than welcome. Parashas Behaloischa. We have a very unusual subject today. The subject is kamatz. How are you going to make a shir out of a kamatz? Well, watch this. The Mishnah says, Mishameis Rabbi Akiva batla kavara Torah. When Rabbi Akiva passed away, the honor of the Torah ceased. Why? What did Rabbi Akiva do that brought honor to the Torah that ceased when he passed away? So the commentaries explain, Rabbi Akiva darshan every koitz, every thorn. We know that letters have shatnes geis, certain letters have tagin. Rabbi Akiva darshan, the meaning of every little crown on every letter of the oisiois. So when you ascribe significance to every detail of Torah, that means you're saying every small point is significant, you're honoring the Torah. So there's no greater honor to the Torah than to say that every little minute detail is laden with tremendous significance. So when Rabbi Akiva died and nobody was able to expound on the small minutia of the Torah, the honor of the Torah ceased. So we're going to speak about the kamatz today. And a rule about the kamatz. The pasuk says in this week's parasha, V'yasu b'nei Yisrael es ha-posach v'mayadoi. Okay, fill in the blank. I went to my in-laws for
Pesach.
Do you go for Pesach or do you go for Pesach? I went to Orlando, right? 97% of the Jewish people a few months ago went to Orlando for what?
Pesach.
I'm not endorsing that custom. For Pesach. When do you say Pesach? And when do you say Pesach? Well, there's a rule. Whenever the word appears at the end of a pasuk, it's Pesach. There's a rule that a nekuda becomes a kamatz at the end of a pasuk. It's transformed into a kamatz at the end of a pasuk. For example, what's your Hebrew name, sir?
David.
Good. In the Bible, who is David's father? Yishai or Yishai? Ve'oyved hoylid es Yishai. Yishai. Ve'yishai hoylid es David. So Oyved gave birth to somebody by the name of Yishai. And a different guy, Yishai, he gave birth to David. Were Yishai and Yishai related? Of course they were related. They're the same person. So why is he first called Yishai and then he becomes Yishai? The answer is he doesn't have a name change. It depends where he appears. When the name is at the end of a pasuk, it's kamatz. When it's the middle of the pasuk, it's patach. But there are many exceptions. So really the name of the holiday is Pesach. So then why in this week's parsha, V'yasu v'nei Yisrael es ha-Pesach v'mayado? It's not the end of a pasuk.
Because it's a tipcha.
Ah. So Azriel, of the Azriel building, wants to say that that it's a tipcha. Now a tipcha is somewhat of a stop. In Chorab, there are two kinds of Chorab. There's something called Melech, where you pause, and there's something called Mesharis, where it services the next word. Now, normally, a tipcha is not like the end of a pasuk. It's not a full pause like the end of a pasuk. So really, it should be Pesach. In fact, the Masoretic note indicates it should not be a kamatz. The Masoretic note says, ha-Pesach lesle kamatz. Should not have a Pesach. It should not have a kamatz. V'chol esnachta v'soiv pasuk dechavasei. Only at a asnachta or at the end of a pasuk. So now, if it appears at the end of a pasuk, it's a kamatz. If it appears by asnachta, you know what an asnachta is? It's also, it's somewhat of a pause. It's a full pause in the middle of a pasuk. It also takes a kamatz. And yet in this pasuk, the word Pesach is not at a soif pasuk. It's not at an asnachta, and yet it's still pasach. What's going on over here? Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, this is an illustration of a great principle. The principle is, lav davka soif pasuk makes it a kamatz. Lav davka esnachta makes it a kamatz. The biggest pause in the pasuk would transform it into a kamatz. Now, if there's no esnachta, again, you know what the esnachta is? Esnachta is the main pause in the middle of the pasuk. This pasuk happens to be unique. There is no esnachta in the pasuk. So if there's no esnachta in the pasuk, the tipcha, which is the kama, is promoted to the status of esnachta, and therefore it's pasach and not pesach. You got that? So typically, only the end of a pasuk or a snachta would transform an akuda into a kamatz. But in this pasuk, there is no esnachta. There's just a tipcha. And the tipcha is promoted, graduates to the level of an esnachta. And therefore it's, V'yasu v'nei Yisrael es ha-pasach mo'eva. Now, you have to understand that tipcha is very important. My father would always say, many Balei Kriya have a disease, it's called esnachta-itis. What's esnachta-itis? V'yasu v'nei Yisrael es ha-pasach mo'eva. So they ran through a tipcha. According to the Mishnah Berurah, you have to stop him. You know, the Mishnah Berurah says, Bevadai machzir nosei. Now, lots of luck stopping the guy. You know, it's hard enough you're stopping people from doing other egregious activities during the services. But you're not going to stop a guy from running through a tipcha. But the Mishnah Berurah says that if you don't pause slightly by the tipcha, Bevadai machzir nosei. V'yasu v'nei Yisrael es ha-pasach b'moyadai. So, es ha-posach b'mayadoi. In fact, tipcha is so important. The Zohar says the world stands on a tipcha. How does it stand on a tipcha? Because is Bezdin allowed to kill somebody if they commit a capital offense? Yeah. But it says, loy sirtzach. You're not to kill. So how could they kill someone who commit? The answer is, loy sirtzach. There's a tipcha after the loy. So you read it, don't kill. You can also read it, don't. Pause. Kill. Sometimes you got to kill. Is a person allowed to have normal relations with a wife when she's mutaris? Of course, but it says loy sinaf. You have to read it. The Zaya says loy kama sinaf. Right, it depends. So if it's a tipcha, you're correct. Then it's tinaf. And that's the reason for that, very briefly, is because a beged kefes letter, you don't have to know this part, beis gimel dalet, kaf pei taf, are six letters that could have a tipcha, that could have a dagesh in it. If they're preceded by a vowel, like an aleph or hey, they will drop their dagesh. So it should be loy sinaf. But the tipcha makes it that the loy and the tinaf are not connected. So in the Tam Elyon, it's loy tinaf. In the Tam Tachtoin, they're connected, so it's loy sinaf. Okay. That's what I was going to say. And Azriel, of the Azriel building, was going to say that. Okay, so another example... Another example, Azriel, is in next week's parsha. Because I know in Eretz Yisrael, the Herman Mishpacha wants me to give shiurim on parsha Shlach, because it's Shlach in Israel. You know? So we tell them to watch reruns, you know? You're going to have to watch. But but in next week's parsha, there's another exception. It goes like this. Is anyone here name Ephraim? Azriel, are you named Ephraim?
No.
Okay. Is the name Ephraim or Ephraim? Ha ben yakir li, yakir li. Ephraim or Ephraim? Ephraim. And yet, in next week's parsha, lemate Ephraim hoishea benun. Why Ephraim? It should be Ephraim. The rule is that the name is Ephraim, and if the name appears at the end of a pasuk or an asnachta, then it becomes Ephraim. But in this pasuk, it's not the end of a pasuk and it's not at an asnachta. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, this is another illustration of the great principle that when there's no asnachta in the pasuk, the stop it graduates to become like an asnachta, and therefore it's lemate Ephraim Hoshea Benun, not lemate Ephraim. I put your computer over here. Okay. Lamate Ephraim Hoshebanos. That's another exception to the rule. Here's another exception. You know, in Megillah Seicha, we have how many prakim Megillah Seicha? Who knows?
Five
prakim. Perak Aleph, 22 psukim. Perak Beis, 22 psukim. Perak Dalid, 22 psukim, in the order of the Aleph Beis. Okay? Perak Gimel is 66 psukim. Right? A paragimel begins, Ani hageverani b'shevet evrasai. Yeah? Three psukim for each one of the aleph bays. And the psukim paragimel are very short. Psukim in aleph bays and dalet are long. Psukim in gimel are very short. So Maral famously says, parag aleph bays and dalet correspond to Eicha. Why is it called Eicha? Eicha is gematria 36. The Jews violated the 36 chayavei krisois when? During Bayis Rishon. Bayis Rishon, they violated three cardinal sins. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shrichas Damim. So we have three prakim for Bayis Rishon. Aleph, Beis, and Dalet. And since these are big sins, the psukim are very big. Bayis Sheni, what avera did we commit? Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam in and of itself is small, but compounded again and again and again, it's big. So therefore, Perek Gimel does not begin with the word Eicha, because they didn't violate the 36 Chayavei Krisos during Bayis Sheni. Instead, they violated Sinas Chinam, and the Psukim are very short. Since the Psukim in Gimel are very short, there's almost never an Asnachta in the middle of the Pasuk. So if look at number 4, in Eicha, Gimel, Chavav, Toi V'yachil V'dumam, it should be V'dumam. Why is it vidumam? Because the zakev katan takes the place of an esnachta and it becomes a kamatz. Who here is named Mordechai? Nobody. Is the name Mordechai or Mordechai? Depends if you say it correctly or incorrectly, but
chassid, or if you
Is it Mardechai or Mardechai? The answer is it depends if it appears at the end of a sentence, at an asnachta, or a middle. Okay? So whenever Mardechai is in the middle of a pasuk, it's Mardechai. Vayomer Mardechai lahashiv el Esther, uMardechai lo yichrav lo yishtachaveh. Every single time the name appears in the middle of a pasuk, it's Chai. Whenever it appears at the end of a pasuk, it's Chai. Whenever it appears at an asnachta, it's Chai. And my whole life I was bothered by Perek Dalet Pasuk Yerbeiz. Vayagidu leMardechai eis divrei Esther. Violates the rule. It troubled me. And I figured it must be, I didn't know the rule of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I figured it must be when there's no asnachta, the Zakev Katan is promoted to be like an asnachta. And Rabbi Yaakov does not give this example, but this is a perfect example of this principle. Fine. Here are some other examples of the principle as they are, simply. Vihi eile todois paretz, paretz hoilet eschatzroin. Is his name Paretz or Paretz? His name is Paretz. So what happened to his name by the Esnachta, by the Zakev Katan? What happened over there? This is another raya to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's rule, that when there's no Esnachta, the Zakev Katan takes the place of Esnachta. Or another example. V'oyved hoylid es Yishai, v'yishai hoylid es David. Fine. So far, everything is consistent. When it appears at the end of the word, it's kamatz. When it appears in asnachta, it's kamatz. When it appears in the middle of the pasuk, it's patach. When there's no asnachta, if it's either a zakev katan or a tipcha, it graduates to asnachta. Okay, so far so good. There is not one exception b'chol ha'Torah kula. And comes along a pasuk in Bishalach, and it throws the whole thing off. Ready for this? V'loy Shamuel Moshe, v'yoyisiru anoshim imenu ad boiker, v'yarum toilayim, v'yiv ash, v'yiktsoif aleihem Moshe. It's a asnachta. It should have been Vayivash. You going to be able to sleep tonight? So let's translate.
You might change the meaning of the word.
Yeah. They didn't listen to Moshe.
Right.
How do you translate Moshe?
Moshe.
Vayosiru anoshim imenu ad boiker. The men left it over till the morning. Vayarum, the man. Vayarum toiloim, it developed worms. Vayivash, it became putrid. Vayiktsoif aleihem Moshe. And Moshe, like Vayivash hayar, right? It became sun. And Moshe got angry. I said, I told you not to leave it over. Why do you leave it over? Comes Rashi. And this is the kasha of Rav Shloima Mivilkmir. Rav Shloima of Woodmere. Rav Shloima of Vilkmir. A Talmud of the Gaon. Okay? A Talmud of the Gaon. And he says, you know who doesn't ask this question but answers it? Rashi. How? What the Pasuk says, they left it over, it became wormy and putrid. I have a shaila. What comes first? When it becoming putrid or developing worms?
Putrid.
What comes first? Worms or putridity?
Garbage, then worms.
First putrid and then worms. Yeah, you agree? We'll take a vote. What comes first? Putrid or worms? Putrid. So it should say, Vayivash Vayorom Toiloim. It says Rashi, look later on. Vayanicho Yisrael Boiker Garzio Moshe on Shabbos. Veloyivish, it didn't become putrid. Verim Aloy, there weren't worms. So there it's in the right order. In this puzzle, in the wrong order. Says Rashi, Harezem Mikra Hafuch. The pasuk's out of order. Shabbatchila Hivish, first it becomes putrid. Ulevesoy Fisliya, then it becomes wormy. Kenyan Shinemar, like it says later. Veloyivish, Verim Aloy Yisabai. That's how things putrefy. Says Rav Shlomo Vilkamir, you know why there's no kamatz? Because really it should say, Vayivash Vayorim Toiloim. So to indicate that it's not in the right place, it didn't have a kamatz, it had a patach. That's why there's no kamatz, because it doesn't belong there. Rashi's saying it's a mikra hafuch, it's out of order, it really should be earlier. It really should, it's as if it says, Vayivash Vayorim Toiloim. If the word Vayivash was correctly placed at the Asnachta, would be Vayivash. But because it's not supposed to be there, it says Vayivash. Vayivash.
What's the reason?
So David wants to know, so why is the Pasuk out of order? Says of Shlomo Vilkamir, the next words are Moshe got angry. What did Moshe get angry about? That they didn't listen to him. How did Moshe know they didn't listen to him? God came to Moshe in a prophecy. Moshe, I want to tell you, there were two Rishayim who left over the man and it got wormy. God gave Moshe nevuah. No, Moshe smelled it. Did Moshe smell it or he saw the worms from outside the tent? Did he smell it or he saw the worms? He smelled it. So in order to juxtapose Vayivash to Vayiktsoy Faleya Moshe, so it put it out of order so that we know that Moshe got angry because of the Vayivash. But in terms of the development of what happened, first it was Vayivash, and then it was Vayom Tarlim. But because Moshe got angry because of the Vayivash, it puts it in that order. It's unbelievable. So you see every little detail of the Pasuk is accounted for.
Is there anything wrong? Did they leave over
one? Yeah. Moshe said, don't do it. Yeah, you can't leave it over to him. Yeah, right. Because people wanted to leave it over, right? Why do people have a savings account? So you don't have to rely on God. You can rely on your, savings account. So people want to leave over money. Every day I have to hope that God's going to help me out. Yeah, I mean, they couldn't handle that. They wanted to feel a certain security by having the money in the pantry. So Moshe said, don't do it. Okay, so now we get to a major subject that I'm going to give you a watered-down version of, because I was away until recently. I just got back. And I'm happy that at least we got out. I would call this just getting a little taste of the subject. We come to a very interesting subject, namely, in the second bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. Ata gibar li oilam Hashem echayem esim ata rav lehoishia mashiv haruach u'moyred Goshem or Gashem? What do they say here?
Whatever
you say. Okay.
I said now, if it's my, if I have your say, it's Gashem.
That was Rabbi Elgam Shavuos here. Gashem or
Goshem? Yeah? So I'm just going to give you in a nutshell. Okay? What should it depend on? Is it the end of a phrase or the middle of a clause? Really what it should depend on is what the trup is. Is there a trup on Shemoneh Esrei?
No.
Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says yes. There's trup. And the trup, I don't know how, what the tam on the word gesh, gimel shin mem is revi'i. Mashiv haruach u'moyred hageshem. And therefore, Rabbi Yaakov says it's geshem. Now, Rabbi Yaakov, his specialty was dikduk. And he says there is no room to say goshem. Why do people mistakenly say goshem? Because on Shmini Atzeres, who here is a gabai? So there are no Ephraims, there are no Mordechais, and there are no Gabaim. Okay. The Gabai calls out, Mashiv Ruach Umoyrid Ha Goshem. Why? Because that's the end of his clause, that's the end of his statement, that's his whole show. Some people, the only thing you ever hear from the whole year is the clap, Mashiv Ruach Umoyrid Ha Goshem. But no, the answer is it Yishai or Yishai? It depends where. So in Shemoneh Esrei, it's Geshem. But in the Hachroza, it's Goshem.
You say Mash Ruach Goshem, but don't say it.
Say Geshem.
<Yeah.
Says Rabbi Yaakov, since that's the end of a sentence, that's how it's pronounced in that sentence. And furthermore, when you daven Geshem and you say the piyud, Sha'atahu Hashem Elokeinu Mashiv Haruach Umayred HaGoshem. In the Machzor, that's the end of the piyut. So there it is, Goshem. And when the Chazan announces it, he gives a copy, it's Goshem. But when you say, it's Marit HaGeshem, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, because the trup is Revi'i. Furthermore, says Rabbi Yaakov, is it Ata Gibar L'Olam Hashem, Mechayim Isim, Ata or Mechayim Isim? Ata. Mechaye meisim ahata. Or mechaye meisim ata. Says Rabbi Yaakov, it depends if it's the rainy season or the summer. Why? During the rainy season, or if you don't say Marad Hatal, it's Milel. Mechaye meisim ata, Rav Lo Yishia, Mashiach Marad HaGoshem. But if you don't say Marad Hatal in the summer, it's Mechaye meisim ata, Rav Lo Yishia. Finished. And this really deserves a shir unto itself. All you need to know now is Rav Moshe Feinstein vehemently disputes Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and I follow Rav Moshe, and he says it's ata, Gibar Li'olam Hashem Mechayim Eisim Ata Rav Loshia Mashav Ruach Umarad HaGoshem. Why, says Rav Moshe? Because it's the end of a phrase. Aye, but the rule is only Kamatz and Asnachta. It's only Asnachta Soi Pasuk. No, the rule is the end of a phrase is always Kamatz, regardless if it's in the Chumash or in the Siddur. Now, says Rav Moshe, where does it come from that when a word appears at the end of a clause, the end of a sentence, the end of a pasuk, by an asnachta, it's a kamatz? Says Rav Moshe, it's halacha l'moshe misinai. Where? It's a Gemara Nedarim. The Gemara Nedarim says on Daf Lam Zayinu Mavez, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Mikra soifrim, ve'itur soifrim, the reading of the soifer, the crowns of the Sofer, Kriyan, v'like Sivan, Ksivan, like Kriyan, Kriyan, Ksiv, Halach L'Moshe Misinai. What does it mean, Mikra Sofrim? The Gemara says, Eretz. The Bach adds, Eretz, Oretz. This is Halach L'Moshe Misinai. Says the Ran, when it's an Asnachta, it's Oretz. When it's a middle Pasuk, it's Eretz. Where does that come from? Halach L'Moshe Misinai. Tefillin are what color, Azriel?
Black.
Black. What shape are they?
Squares.
Very good. Where does that come from? Why are tefillin black? Halacha Moshe Misinai. Why is it Oretz at the end of the pasuk? Halacha Moshe Misinai. Interesting. So then it should really come out, should we correct someone who doesn't say it? Doesn't change the meaning of the word, but they're still sort of not fulfilling a biblical rule. So it's very interesting. Says Rav Moshe, Mashiv Haruach Umoyrid HaGoshem. What does it depend on? Whether it's part middle of a phrase or the end of a phrase. Now it's very interesting. In Parshas Lech Lecha, we find that Vayomer Hashem el Avram Lech Lecha Me'artzecha Umi Me'latetecha Umi Beis Avicha El Aretz Asher Areka. And Moshe and Avraham Avinu goes out Vayetzu Laleches Artza Ki Na'an Vayavoyu Artza Ki Na'an. He went out to go to the land of Kenaan, and he came to the land of Kenaan. So, unknowingly, you might say he was going to Nebraska, and he ended up in California. He was going to Arza Kenaan, and he ended up in Arza Kenaan. So, some surfers bothered by this question. Yaakov Avinu, Avinu went to one land, and he ended up going to a different land? We know it's the same land. It's just in the middle of the pasuk it's Canaan. At the end of the pasuk it's Canaan. But the Chassam Sofer says, even though it's a rule in Dikduk, there still must be significance in that.
I was going to say, there's got to be a reason why.
Right? So, there's got to be a reason. Again, halacha l'mashem yisrael, we don't really know why tefillin are black. We have no idea.
And a name shouldn't, the term shouldn't be make a difference if it's in the middle or at the end. A name always stays the same.
Okay, but it's a rule, it's a halacha l'mashem yisrael. All the examples we gave were names. Every single example we gave. Ephraim, Mardechai, Paretz, Yishai. So the Chassam Sofer says like this. God told Abraham, go to Eretz Yisrael. I'll make you a great nation. What was Abraham Avinu going to do there? He's going to bring people back to the fold. He figured that when he would get there, he would find that the people were receptive to his message. So Vayetzu Lalechaz Arza Kenan Pasach. He went to go out to the land of Canaan. He thought that they would be open to his message. He gets to Vayavoyu. He got there. Arza Kenan. Nobody was interested in anything he had to say. Pasach indicates openness. Kamatz is the fist. It's closed. Avraham Avinu thought the people would be open, would be receptive to his message. Turns out, not at all. They didn't want to hear anything he had to say. He was totally unsuccessful. Now, according to that, you would have to believe that there's significance to the Eila Toldois Paratz, Paratz Hoyledes Chatzrain, or the Oyved Hoyledes Yishai, the Yishai Hoyledes David.
I don't know, he's the same. Meaning he's Yishai by himself. Once he's David, he becomes something else. Everybody grows in life.
Right. Or that when Oyved gave birth to him, Yishai was close. He was not on the madrigo that he could have produced the David HaMelech. And later on, he opened himself up that he was able to produce somebody like David HaMelech. Rav Shamshin Rafal Hirsch says something very interesting. He said, fundamentally, in the order of Nekudais, the first Nekuda is Kamatz, followed by Patach. Why does Kamatz go before Patach? Says Rav Shamshin Rafal Hirsch, Kamatz means closed. It refers to a closed mouth. Patach is an open mouth. That's also indicated, say Kamatz. 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 Could you keep your mouth closed at the end of the Kamatz? Yeah, you could close your mouth. Patach. Could you keep your mouth closed at the Patach? No, your mouth has to be open. So kamatz, your mouth could be closed. Patach, your mouth could be open. Stop right there. Before we get to the hislimud, I would say very simply, that's the reason why when you get to a soif pasuk or an asnachta, the pronunciation is katz. Why? Because you don't have to keep your mouth open. In fact, you're supposed to keep your mouth closed. You need to pause. So whenever there's a pause, the nekuda will lend itself to keeping the mouth closed, pausing. Whenever you're in the middle of the pasuk, you got to keep your mouth open. You got to flow. So it's going to be a patach. You know, I think that's, I wouldn't say that's a big sisoid or, it's not, it's just practically. There's a lot of the rules of grammar are to help read. Just pasha to help you navigate the reading of the pasuk. So when you're in the middle of a pasuk, The Nekuda Patach indicates keep your mouth open, and Kamatz indicates to close it. But Rav Shamshon for Hirsch sees something deeper even than that, and that is, if Kamatz is the first Nekuda, it's to teach a person that the default position of the mouth should be Kamatz, and only be Patach if you need to. And that, of course, the Gemara says is indicated by the fact that all the limbs of the body are vertical. The heart is vertical, because the heart always has to work, and the liver is vertical, and the kidneys are vertical, and the lungs are vertical, because they always have to work. And everything is vertical. There's only one limb that its default position is schluff, the tongue. Why? The whole oral, right? The tongue. Because it's like a gun. Just because you're holding one doesn't mean you need to use it, right? You have it just in case. That's the purpose of the mouth. It's a weapon. You have it just in case. And even that's why it has a lot of safeguards, safety features. You have teeth, right? So when the tongue wants to come out, if you need to, you bite it. You have lips, and that's the Gemara says the limud of the mouth. And of course, we know that how many teeth do we have on the top?
36.
Oh, you're a shark or something?
18.
Well,
18 and 17.
16 on the top, 16
on the bottom.
32.
Go back to dental school.
The Sezer Shla HaKadosh, two psukim in Shir HaShirim talk about the teeth of Klal Yisrael. Shinayich ke'eder haketzuvois, or Shinayich ke'eder harachelam. We have two sets of teeth, 16 on the top, 16 on the bottom, to indicate that what's the mouth given for? Torah and Tefillah. How much? 16 Torah. We have 3 Aliyos Monday, 3 on Thursday, 7 on Shabbos, and 3 Shabbos by Mincha. Add it up. 16. Very good, Azriel. 16 Aliyos a week. That's Torah. Right. Mafter in a minamin. But what about how much Tefillah do we have a week? We have. The answer is we're talking about Karbanos. So you have the Tamid Shel Shachar and the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim is 14, right? Plus the two Musafim on Shabbos is 16. This indicates God gave us a mouth for Torah and for Tefillah. And this is the Shir on the Nekuda of Kamatz. Stay tuned for future Shirim on other very important Shalsha, other...
What's the two Musafim on Shabbos?
Two Karbanos and Musaf. You bring two animals. But you say both behemoths with one musaf. Yeah. Okay, Rabbi Isai, have a wonderful day, not wonderful evening. Baruch v'atzlacha. Kol tov. Baruch tia, Rabbi Isaac. Good night.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.